Take your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 23 this morning. Go a little different direction this morning. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verse number 1. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever seen Jesus Christ? Have you seen him on the cross? Luke chapter 23, verse number 1. Bible says, Luke chapter 23, verse number 1, a whole multitude of them arose, led him unto Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation, forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, dear God. Lord, I pray you'd meet with us. Lord, I pray you'd be in our midst, dear God. Lord, I pray this morning, dear God, if somebody's lost, Lord, they'd see the need of salvation. Lord, I pray that you'd have liberty. Lord, I pray there'd be nothing here this morning, dear God, that would quench your spirit. Lord, I pray you bring conviction, Holy Ghost conviction. Lord, I pray you'd help as I read through these passages, dear God, that you just lead God and direct. Lord, give what's needed. Help us to see Jesus. Lord, help us to have eyes this morning, dear God, to see your blessed Son, the Lamb of God. We'll give you the glory and honor and praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says here in Luke chapter 23, they're leading Jesus Christ to crucify him. The Pharisees and the religious crowd for a while has been trying to get a hold of him. They're angry at Jesus because of going around and doing nothing but good. But he's a reproach to them. And the Bible says here in verse number 2, as they led him on the Pilate, they said, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King." And how many would say of us today to try to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ that we're perverting the nation and we're forbidding to give tribute to Caesar? Verse number 3, and Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." That's the question you got to ask yourself this morning. Is Jesus Christ the King of the Jews? Is Jesus Christ the King of your life? Again, I'm not asking you this morning if you made a profession. I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you this morning, is Jesus Christ the King of your life? Verse number 4, then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." You see, Pilate was bothered. Pilate's bothered by what's going on here. Pilate is not stupid. Pilate can see through that for envy they've delivered Jesus up to him. Pilate can see through all the shenanigans. Pilate can see through all the religion that's going on here. And Pilate realizes there's nothing that Jesus has done wrong that's worthy of death. Pilate looks out, he says, "I find no fault in this man. There's nothing this man's done that's worthy of death of you bringing him to me." Verse number 5. "They were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged in Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was at Jerusalem at the time." You see, Pilate is looking for an escape, brethren. And there's a lot of individuals, sometimes when the Holy Spirit begins to work upon their heart, the Holy Spirit begins to bring conviction upon their heart, they begin to look for an escape. You see, I really do believe this morning that God was trying to get a hold of Pilate. I believe God was gracious enough, long-suffering enough, that he gave some light to Pilate, but unfortunately Pilate rejected that light. God brought the Son of God, the Son of Man, right into the face of Pilate and said, and Pilate says, "What is truth?" And truth was looking him right in the face. But Pilate here is bothered. And so often when you find when the Holy Spirit begins to deal with the souls of men, the souls of men begin to get bothered when the Holy Spirit begins to bring conviction upon them and in their lives, they start to squirm. They start to move. Brethren, I've seen it in church before, brethren, that I believe God was dealing with somebody and all of a sudden they look for a diversion. They look for a diversion. They scratch the back of their neck. They turn the head. They do this. They do that. They pick up a hymn book. They start scratching something down in their notebook. They go to the bathroom. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is dealing with them. And they're trying to run from it. And it's a dangerous place when God begins to deal with your heart and you close your ears and you close your eyes and you try to run from the Holy Ghost conviction coming upon you. Pilate's trying to run. He says, man, this man Jesus, he belongs to another jurisdiction. I'll drop him off to Herod and I'll rid my hands of trying to deal with this just man. No, but my friend, all of us in this room, we've all got to deal with that just man and we can't just pass him off. What will you do with Jesus? Brethren, I don't think these things this morning is by accident. And I don't believe you can make excuses saying, well, the preacher's just emotional this morning. No, brethren, I believe God's trying to get a hold of somebody's heart. Brethren, this is not the message I plan to preach on this morning. Verse number 7. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was at Jerusalem at that time. Verse 8. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see of him a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he had hoped to see some miracle done by him. How many are in that case today? The only reason they try to come to Jesus is because they want to see some miracle happen. You know why a lot of people, I would say all, but a lot, maybe traveling down to Asbury, well, you have to forgive me because they shut it down because God's only got a time limit on his revivals. So we got to stop it so we can get back to our midterms. But you know, Herod's glad to see Jesus. Herod's been desiring for a long time to see Jesus, but for a wrong reason, that he might see some miracle, like Jesus is some puppeteer, like Herod's going to play his flute and want Jesus to dance to his tune. I'll tell you something this morning, brethren. Jesus Christ will not dance to your tune. You can't lower Jesus Christ down and put him in your box and say, Lord, this is how you're going to do things. No, you get in his box and do things the way he desires for things to be done. And how many times today people try to put, they try to control Jesus rather than Jesus Christ controlling them. Herod hopes to see some miracle. He's going to see nothing. Verse 9. Then he questioned with him many words. Look what the Bible says, verse 9, latter verse 9. But he answered him nothing. He answered him nothing. The Holy Spirit working through the Son of God, fully man, fully God, has a man right in front of him that's excited to see him. Brethren, please hear me this morning. Here's a man that is excited to see Jesus. He's been a long season waiting to see Jesus. And now he gets his opportunity, he gets his audience with Jesus, and Jesus answers him nothing. You know why, my friends? Because Jesus Christ can see straight to the heart, and Jesus Christ is not going to play games. Jesus Christ realizes the only reason Herod wants to see something or see him is because he wants to see a miracle, not eternal life. Verse 10, and the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Ain't that very interesting? Ain't that very interesting? Ain't that very interesting? Individuals that would never be friends before, now they got a common cause. And what's that common cause? They hate Jesus. Brethren, God forbid this to happen in Ray Street Baptist Church, the two people who before would never even talk together, get together and for a common cause, hate the church, hate Jesus Christ, and hate the brethren in it. God help us. Verse 12, and the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, and before they were enmities between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said to them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. Behold, I have examined him before you, having found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done to him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one of them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. Brethren, that's pretty sad when you get to a point to where you're willing to have a murderer rather than the Son of God. You see, brethren, we don't realize, listen, when we reject Jesus Christ and we put off the light that God's trying to shine into our hearts and into our minds, and we put off what God's trying to do, and we say, another day, another day, another day, brethren, you don't realize the further you say or the more you say another day, the further you drift off into darkness. To where they desire a murderer rather than, brethren, do you see how dark men's hearts can get? Here is Jesus Christ. For 3.5 years, he went around and did nothing but good. All he did was good. He healed the lame. He gave those that were blind sight. He gave those that couldn't hear. He raised the dead to life again. He fed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000. He did nothing but good. And the world would rather have a murderer than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know why? Because they don't want to deal with their sin. You know why? Because they don't want to deal with their sin. Let me ask you a question this morning. When you got saved, did God deal with you about your sin? Let me ask you a question this morning. When you got saved, the day you got saved, were you underneath Holy Ghost conviction? Were you underneath Holy Ghost conviction where the Holy Spirit of God was bearing witness your heart that you were a sinner in need of a Savior? I'm not asking you this morning if you were listening to a Sunday school message. I'm not asking you this morning if you were listening to a preacher. I'm asking you this morning, when you got saved, was God dealing with you? Brethren, if God wasn't dealing with you, you're not saved. That's a fact. If the Holy Spirit of God was not reproving you of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, you're lost, my friend. Take your Bible, look at the book of Acts. Look at the book of Acts and chapter number, look at the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter number, let's see here. Acts chapter 24. Look at verse 25. Hold your hand there and flip over to John. We're going to read John first. John chapter number 16. I want you to read John 16 first with me here this morning. John chapter 16. And I want you to look at verse number 7. And then we're going to go over and we're going to read in Acts chapter 24. Look at John chapter 17, or 16, I'm sorry. John 16 and verse number 7. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, he's just spent time with his disciples. He's getting ready to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's getting ready to get crucified upon that cross and shed his blood for the sins of all mankind. But before he leaves his disciples, before he's led away to Pilate's hall or Herod's hall, before he's led away to be crucified, look what he tells his disciples before he pulls off the scene here. John chapter 16 and verse 7. He says, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go, that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter who will come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 8. And when he is come, Comforter, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's the Lord Jesus Christ says, when I ascend up on the high, up in those clouds, and I go up there to be and sit at the right hand of my Father, he said, when I go up there, I'm going to send my Comforter into the world, not just the church, but into the world. And when the Comforter comes into the world, Jesus Christ says, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Not dad, not the preacher, not mom, not grandma, not the uncle, not the teacher, but the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God and the righteousness of God. Brethren, you need the righteousness of God in order to get to heaven. You can't get there with your own righteousness because it is as filthy rags. You need the righteousness of Jesus Christ to have eternal life. And then also the Holy Spirit deals with you about the judgment to come. There's a judgment day coming if you're lost, and it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And if your name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, my friend, you will spend an eternity in the lake of fire. Sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. How many times is that preached in a Sunday school lesson? How many Sunday school classrooms give a right depiction of Noah and the ark? Usually when you see in a nursery, in a Sunday school, it's these little animals and they're smiling and hanging out of the ark and Noah's up there waving. My friend, that was a time of destruction, and that's a lie to our children as we teach them. And we wonder why our kids today take God so lightly. Maybe because they were looking at the nursery rhymes we were teaching them. The time of Noah's flood was not a time of smiles. The animals weren't hanging out the ark. Noah wasn't waving to the crowd. You had people screaming and clawing and trying to get in and out the ark because they were losing their babies. They were losing their kids. They just lost their husband. And the only way out was that ark, but the door was shut.
That's the truth.
Brother, you know what's missing in America today? Holy Ghost preaching.
Amen.
We like teaching. We have itching ears. And we're missing the power of God. So we got a bunch of stillbirths in our church. We got a bunch of stillbirths, my friend. Bunch of stillbirths. You say, preacher, I want to see this example in real life. Sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Look over at Acts chapter number 24. Acts chapter 24, look at verse 24. Acts 24, 24. Look what the Bible says here in Acts chapter 24, verse 24. Brethren, this pray after me movement, this easy believism movement has created more problems for the church you could shake a stick at. Look at Acts chapter 24. Look at verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. He asked for Paul to come preach to him. Verse 25, and as Paul came and preached to him, verse 25 is this, and he reasoned of what? Of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And Felix trembled, answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Brethren, Paul, the Apostle Paul, preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, but he preached it in line with the Holy Spirit of God, and as he was preaching it, he preached it in the sense that he preached the righteousness and temperance and judgment. And as Paul came into the presence of Felix to preach to him the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit had him zero in on temperance. Because you see, he left off sin. It's sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. That's what the Holy Spirit will preach and reprove the world of. But Paul had a walk with God to where God was able to work through Paul, and God knew the problem with Felix, and why Felix would have a problem with the gospel is because he had a problem with temperance. And the Holy Spirit of God zeroed right into the heart of Felix's problem, and it was his temperance. No, Felix, all you got to do, Felix, is just, Felix, come with me and just pray this prayer. You're right there. Just bow your head. Just say, I'm a sinner. Nonsense. I'd spit on it if I could. Nonsense. Paul didn't do that. Paul didn't do that. Paul said, you better deal with your sin, son. You better deal with your sin. You got a problem with temperance. And guess what, my friend? You ain't getting saved till you deal with this problem with temperance and cry out to God for deliverance. Righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And look at what this, look, brethren, we are missing the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And as the Holy Spirit of God preaches through Paul, guess what happens to Felix? That man trembles. That man trembles Because he realizes God has got him pegged and he's got to make a choice now. Do I turn and forsake all? Do I have the possibility of losing my wife? Do I have the possibility of losing my position? Do I take Jesus Christ or do I go back to the world? And he trembled and he gave the wrong answer. He said, go away. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. And guess what, my friend? Sometimes and most of the time, that convenient season never shows up again. And that's what's missing our churches today. Tell me the last time you saw this happen in a church. Tell me the last time you saw somebody trembling over their sin. Tell me. Tell me the last time you was in a church service and the Holy Spirit moved and people were trembling over their sin. I can't even remember a service. I can't even remember a service for me. Brethren, it said when Jonathan Edwards preached his sermon and he read it off a piece of paper, he didn't preach it, he read it. He said those people were on the edge of their seat and they were gripping the front seat, the pew in front of them. Their knuckles were white because they were scared to death about dropping off in a second down into hell as Jonathan Edwards preached his message back in the 1700s, 1800s. Tell me last time you saw somebody gripping the back of the seat because they're so convicted over their sin. I ain't never seen it. You say, you're preaching some new strange gospel. No, I'm preaching Bible. I'm preaching Bible. We're missing it. We're missing it today. We got the mega church mentality and it's creeped into even the little churches. When's the last time, brother? Tell me, have you ever felt the Holy Spirit of God move in a service? I have. And I'm not talking charismatic now, my friend. I'm talking about Holy Ghost conviction and moving in a service. You see, we go through the motions. We got the program. We got everything, bop, 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 the way it's supposed to be done, and we're missing the power of God. Did you ever tremble over your sin? I know when I got saved, I was pretty fearful of what I was before God. I know the day I got saved, brethren, I know there was a wrestling match going on inside me that ain't nobody else could see, but I was sitting up in that pew, and my wife went forward there. I was wrestling there, and I realized, brethren, listen, I better get up front, and not that you got to go up front to get saved, but the Lord was like, son, you better get up front. I was like, I can't go up front. If I go up front, everybody's going to make fun of me. I've already claimed to be saved. I cannot go up front, because if I go up front, I'm going to act like I'm a liar, because I already said I knew God, and there was this wrestling match going on in my soul, and I got down there, and the Lord said, it ain't going to happen right here at the pew, my friend. You better get up front. You better take a stand. And I went up front. And brother, as soon as I take that step out of that chair, boom, immediately I was changed. I ain't never been the same since. Amen. Ain't never been the same since.
Thank God.
Let me ask you this question. When you got saved, are you different? Are you different? You can't tell me, brethren, the Holy Spirit of God, manifest the flesh, Jesus Christ, that you can't tell me that the creator of all mankind and everything can come and indwell you and you not know there's a difference?
Preach.
I think you might have religion, my friend.
Keep going,
and not a relationship.
Come on, feed the sheep.
Listen, you can't tell me the Holy Spirit comes in your heart and you have no clue it ever occurred. You just knew I entered the room.
Right.
That's exactly what the Holy Spirit does when you get saved.
Amen.
He stands at your heart door and he knocks and he tries to get in. And if you're willing to let him in, he'll come on in and you're going to know you're different.
Amen. Amen,
brother. Preach. Yeah. Brethren, Felix trembled. He trembled and he said, go thy way for this time when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Look, you see, look what the problem is. Look what the problem is with Felix, verse 26. Look what the problem is. You see, we don't see the hearts of men, brethren. That's why we don't ever lead anybody in a prayer. You bring them, you give them the gospel, you answer any question they have about the gospel, you tell them about Jesus, you give them tracts, you invite them to church, but when it comes to the point, there's only something that the Holy Spirit can do, and you cannot do it. And you got to then leave it in their hands and God's hands and let them wrestle that thing out with God, because you cannot see the heart. But how many people today, they get somebody there and they think they're ripe for the picking, and they bring them in and they get them to repeat a prayer, they get them to say something, and they walk away lost as when they knelt down. Why? Because you can't see the heart. Because look at verse 26. Look at Felix. Oh, Felix. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Paul comes in there, preaches the gospel to him of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix is sitting there listening to Paul. He gets up. He's trembling. He says, I'm going to go away. I'll call for you when I got a convenient season. And he's like, as he's walking out there, he's like, man, that didn't go like I thought it was going to go. I thought that he might pay me off some money so that I can get him off to go free. But guess what? Paul was more concerned about that man's soul than being set free from prison. Brethren, go back over to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Verse number 20. Luke 23, 20. Luke 23, 20. Look what the Bible says here. Luke chapter 23, verse 20. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. This man is in turmoil in his soul. He's trying to find some way to get rid of this man, Jesus. Verse 21, but they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Verse 22, and he said unto them the third time, why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. Brethren, people here this morning, somebody listening on live stream, if the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with your heart, I pray that the other voices don't prevail. If God's dealing with your heart this morning, brethren, if God is dealing with your heart this morning, I pray that the other voices don't prevail. Verse number 24. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required, and released unto them for sedition and murder, was cast into prison, whom they desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. When they come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. You see, There were two thieves that were crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ, one on his right hand, one on his left. And as the Lord Jesus Christ was led up to Calvary and there crucified upon that cross, when it first started, both of those thieves railed on Jesus Christ, casting things in their teeth towards him, saying, "If thou be the Son of God, save us." But one of those thieves came to his right senses and in his right mind. He saw Jesus Christ, and as Jesus was being crucified on that cross, he answered nothing to his accusers. Brethren, it kind of goes back to the Sunday school lesson this morning, brethren. We have nowhere or nothing to complain of. If anybody had anything to complain of, it's Jesus Christ being on that cross. Brethren, we have been to no cross yet. We have not experienced any cross yet. Have any of you even carried a cross on your shoulders? But that's what Jesus Christ did for you. He carried that cross from that hall there all the way up to Calvary. Listen, Simon helped him out a bit, but I believe the Bible shows that Jesus carried it the rest of the way up to Calvary, because you know what? Man can't carry his cross by himself. He needs the Savior to carry it for him. And Jesus is carrying that cross, brethren. Can you get the picture in your mind this morning? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Listen, he's the one that spoke everything into existence. He is fully God and fully man. He was born of a virgin. He did nothing but good. He doesn't answer back to his accusers. And here we find him in Scripture. He's got the cross on his shoulders for you and for me.
Amen.
Ryan, you said it right this morning. I'm the one that deserves to go to that cross.
Yes, sir.
I'm the one that deserves to be hung on that cross for my sins that I've committed against the Holy God. But God, in his infinite mercy and his grace, he looked down and he saw a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus Christ was willing to come for this wicked man right here. And he went to that cross. And as he goes to that cross, they lay him there and they nail in his sides. And we're going to complain about our French fries being too cold. God help us. This Steve comes to his right mind and he sees Jesus. He sees Jesus taking the reproach. He sees Jesus not answering them a word. He sees Jesus not complaining and murmuring. He sees Jesus going to that cross. No doubt this thief knew who Jesus was or has heard of Jesus. And here's this man that did nothing but good. And here he's going to this cross. Why is he going to this cross? And I believe it clicked with this man. This is who they said he was. The Bible says in verse 41, this thief says, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man, Jesus, hath done nothing amiss." He said unto Jesus, oh, these are precious words right here. This is salvation, my friend. This is not just some prayer said. This is coming from the heart. And I'm telling you, my friends, if salvation didn't come from the heart, you're not saved. Listen, if the calling out and the yearning towards God as a sinner trying to reach out towards the Savior, if it wasn't in the heart, "God, save me, a wretch that I am," my friend, I have to ask you, did you truly get born again? Brethren, we see pictures in the Bible. We see principles in the Bible. And what we find is when people come to Jesus, there's something going on in the heart. And it produces a change. This man says in verse 42, and he said to Jesus, "Lord." He wasn't waiting later on to make him Lord. He made him Lord right there, my friend.
Amen.
Brethren, there's so many terminologies out there today. It confuses this little simple brain of mine. Well, you make him, he's not Lord in the beginning, you make him Lord. Brother, I don't understand all this nonsense. All I know is when I got saved, he was Lord, King. He was everything to me when I got saved. It wasn't like 2 months later I made him Lord. No, he was everything to me the day that I got saved. He was everything. He was altogether wonderful. And this thief, glory to God, this thief's hanging there. And he says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, oh, thank the precious Savior. And Jesus said to him, "Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened. and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Has the veil of your heart been rent? Has the veil of your heart been rent to where now you have access to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ has access to you? You know, we sing a hymn, I surrender all. And you know, the day that I got saved, brethren, I didn't know much. I didn't know hardly anything, but at that moment, I was willing to surrender whatever the Lord wanted in my life. I said, Lord, whatever you want. Lord, brethren, when I got saved, brethren, you don't understand. It was like a 2 to 3 year wrestling match going on between me and God. And one of the things keeping me back from God was my music, because I love my music. And I remember one time I was driving home from my parents' house in North Carolina back down to Charleston, South Carolina, and God was bringing conviction upon me. And I pulled off the side of the road, and I threw all my music that I had, all the ungodly, wicked music that I had, and I threw it off into the woods, and I said, Lord, I just want to know you. I'm coming. 2 weeks later, I bought it all back again and more. Because there's this wrestle match going on between me and the Lord. Now, I thought I was saved at that time, but I'm trying to wrestle this thing out. I'm trying to do the things I can do, but I realize I can't do it. Why? Because I look back now, I wasn't saved. I didn't have the power to do it because I was trying to do it in the flesh and not by the Spirit. So a couple years later, sitting in a little white church, told everybody there, including the pastor. He came by my house. He said, when you get saved? I said, I've always been saved. I grew up in church, thought I was saved. I thought I was always saved. Pastor Doss sat there in my living room. He said, when'd you get saved? I said, I've always been saved. He just nodded his head, and he let the Holy Spirit do a work. I remember the day that I got saved, getting dressed to go to church that morning. My wife was struggling with things with it. I thought I was good because guess what? I was preaching. I was teaching Sunday school. I was running the boys program. I was doing, see my friend, it was all me. I. It wasn't Jesus. I was basing my salvation off of what I did rather than who he was. And I went in that church house that morning, sitting there. Pastor Dawes had his cousin preach. And man's eyes, probably one of the worst messages ever preached because the man was stumbling all over the place, but God was all in it. And God bringing conviction down. I remember when the Lord was dealing with me, I said, God, whatever. God, if you want me to wear a blue shirt every Sunday, I'm willing to wear a blue, Lord, whatever you want. God, all I want is you. And like I said, in a moment, in an instant, I was changed and I ain't never been the same since. Now, I'm not saying I never had struggles, but now I have one to help me with my struggles. One to help me get the victory over the sins that are in my life, to get the victory over the flesh that's in my life. I have power now through the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to ask you a question, friend. Has that ever occurred in your life? Have you been converted? Have you been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit of God to where you've gone from darkness to light? As John Newton says, amazing grace, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Has that ever occurred? If it's never occurred, I pray you do business with God. I pray you do business with God. If all you got is a profession, that's what you're hanging on to, my friend, I pray you turn from your pride and get a hold of Jesus Christ. Ellie, if you come on up here for me. I'm going to close this message out. I'm going to have Ellie play for a little bit here. If God's dealing with your heart, God's dealing with your heart, you do business with God. If you do business with God, you can do business with God there at your seat. Or if God's wanting you to come up front, you come up front. Brethren, there ain't nothing wrong with coming up to an altar.
That's right, brother.
There's nothing wrong. Come up here. You know why some people might not come up here? Because of pride. Brethren, I really do believe God laid this message on my heart this morning. I believe as sure as I'm standing here. I pray your pride doesn't keep you from coming to Jesus Christ in truth. Ellie, go ahead and play. If everybody bow their heads, please. I pray you just, if you're saved, please just talk to the Lord. If you're lost, I pray you do business with God.